Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. I hope you're having a wonderful day. You're listening to or watching Service Business Mastery. We are live at BDR Spark 2023 with our good friend Jason Grooms. First, before I get started, I want to give a huge shout out to the people who make this podcast possible and make it possible for us to be able to travel out to events like this. First off is Sarah. That platform is amazing. If you haven't checked out Sarah, there's a link in the bio. Check them out and see what they have to offer. If you're a service business, they definitely can help your business grow by using automation. And then we have UpFrog, which they have a ton of stuff, anything digital marketing related as far as reaching out to clients, reactivating clients, so reactivation, and also if you're looking to market on Facebook, they're really, they're just killing it with Facebook marketing and generating leads with Facebook. And then last but not least, definitely Company Cam. And Company Cam is amazing because it's a damn system, a digital asset management system where you can collect all your photos and videos from the job sites in one place and not have to worry about clogging up your phone's photo album with it. So if that's something of interest to you, a lot of technicians, definitely check out Company Cam. And there's a link in the bio for a couple months for free and or a couple weeks for free and then a discount for a couple more months. But with that being said, I want to give a huge shout out to Jason and welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. I'm super stoked about being on you guys' show. Love listening to you. My team listens to you. So it's an honor for sure.
Yeah, we appreciate that. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been in the business and kind of where you got to the point where you are today.
Okay, yeah. I joke, I tell my team and people around me, I grew up a chicken farmer son. So if anybody can do HVAC, or if I can do HVAC as a chicken farmer son, anyone can, yeah. Right? I was always mechanical growing up. I was that kid that took all of my toys apart and turned it into something else, right?
Like model cars. So,
I just see what I could turn it into. I had an opportunity to go to HVAC school and just fell in love with it. I loved wires and everything like that. So, went to college for HVAC, moved down to Orlando, hung out there for about 6 years, worked for a big AC company down there. Got to learn a lot of really cool stuff, work on some big equipment. I tell people my claim to fame is I was Shaquille O'Neal's AC guy. So when his stuff broke.
So you've been doing this a while because he hasn't played for, I think you just aged yourself a little bit.
So probably so. Yeah, time flies. It really does.
It does.
It's crazy. Like going to the doctor and stuff and the doctors are younger than you are now, right? You know, so what?
That's weird.
So yeah, it truly is. So I graduated college in 98. Mm-hmm. Moved to Orlando, then moved back in 2006 and started up Absolute Climate Control. From the ground up.
Working. And where's home?
Oh, yeah, North Georgia. So Gainesville, Cleveland kind of area. So beautiful area. Love it for sure.
Really quick, this whole series is based on pain points of business owners and how they've come through those pain points. So what kind of pain point do you have that you've gone through and can kind of share about?
Yeah, definitely. I think, there are different levels. We were talking earlier, and Josh was going through talking about the different levels of pain points. And so there's definitely a lot of things that we have to overcome and go through. But I think the biggest one for me, especially where I'm at in business now, is that pain point of being a technician turned business owner. And what does that look like, right?
Yeah. That's a tough one.
There's a lot, because there's a lot of people that are good technicians, or they're good at sales, or they're good at something out in the field, and they think, well, I can do this better than the guy that's paying me every 2 weeks, and they think they can do that, and then the problem is they get stuck in a truck forever. So they essentially own a job,
yeah.
Instead of working for someone else where they actually can take time off. You can't take time off when you have to pay the bills, you have to keep the lights on, and all that kind of thing. So what did that look like for you? Like, how long were you in the field after you started your business?
Yeah, so lots of ups and downs throughout that. So I was probably in the field before I fully stepped out of it, longer than most. So again, I'm just a chicken farmer son, right? So it takes me a while to learn something a few times. So I hit the same wall a few times before I changed direction. But Yeah, so it started in 2006, and really in the last 2 years, just pulled fully out of the truck and have management in place that are doing some things. But that wasn't the end of the battle, right? Just getting out of the truck. It's looking at all the processes and understanding how to read the financials and utilizing as a tool, you know?
That's a massive thing is the financial side of things, because there's a lot of quote-unquote successful business owners who haven't mastered their financials, and they don't they still don't know what's going on there. It's like they know the gist of it, but they don't really know what's going on, like what's causing X, Y, and Z to happen. They know that bring more money in that what's going out. And they could be making a lot more money if they
there's money in the bank today.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I guess I can go buy that thing. Accounting. I can go buy that truck. Yeah. I got money.
Exactly. Yeah.
So been in business about 17-ish years.
Yeah.
So was this your first time where you tried to pull out of the field?
Definitely not.
Okay. So what does that look like? So you tried to pull yourself out of the field. What happened where you kind of had to jump back in? What would that journey look like?
Yeah. So the first time, probably about 4 or so years in, I tried to pull out. I actually even sold my tools to one of my techs. So as I'm like, I'm done. Like, I don't need to do this again.
Did you have to buy them back? So
I did.
That's awkward.
That is. No, I didn't buy them back from him. I had to go repurchase them. I'm like,
okay. Brand new. Yeah, that's a massive investment.
Yeah, so you actually lost money on that.
I totally lost money on that for sure. And it's, you pay for education either with time or money. So I paid with both, time and money. So it was an education. For sure. Tried to get out into the field, but then just not having processes in place, putting a lot of the success of the company in with that tech, with a new technician. And, you know, sometimes things just don't work out right. Mm-hmm. And so I had to get rid of a guy, and that left a hole in the company. So I had to jump back into the van for sure.
I feel like it's always that fine line for people that, especially the ones that are technicians, and they know they can go in and, like, you don't need any notice. I'm like, I'm in the truck. I can take care of whatever happens. It's almost too easy for them to get back in the truck. So somebody leaves. They don't have a backup.
That's literally exactly what's happened to me.
And yeah, you were and telling me this year.
I literally started the business purposely not being in a truck. Like, I hired a technician before I was even started the business.
Yeah.
And then this year, it got to where it was like, all right, these guys have kind of lost faith in me, almost like they don't think I really know what I'm talking about. And then I get in the truck and we have like almost $25,000 below our best month ever. And that's in December. And December is a horrible month. December is the month where we don't break even. Like, we lose money in December.
Yeah.
And take half the freaking month off, it feels like, anyways. But then we do, you know, 25,000 less than the best month ever. And that's with less technicians than we had the best month ever. And so I don't know, but the challenge that I have and a lot of other people have with that exact scenario is the fact that I just proved that I'm more valuable in the van than I am in the office. Almost. I mean, sure, you, as an entrepreneur, you need to be the visionary. You need to spend time thinking about what you're doing. And you can't do that necessarily when you're being the best technician out there. How do you replace me? You know,
that's
the challenge that we all have there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I feel your pain, man. I mean, that's my story too. It's like you go out there and you outproduce anyone, and it's kind of like it feels good a little bit though.
Cause it's ego for sure.
Yeah, you get to flex a little bit. It's what's up?
So you guys know David Hurst?
Yep.
He's been back in there training his guys and stuff. And I see his Facebook post.
Likewise,
and he loves, you can tell the guys.
It's enjoyable.
They love being in
yes.
the thing. Like, it gives them
the problem is
feeling.
That it's fun for about a month. And then it's like, okay, this, like, all my other stuff that I normally am doing, I'm letting that fall to the wayside. And
you know, you got
to
catch up.
Now this really sucks. Yeah, exactly.
Cause more work for yourself. So when was the point? So you got to about year 15. What was the point? It was like, I have to be done always going back into the truck.
Yeah. So it was totally a decision. Like, no matter what happens, like, I'm not going into a vehicle, period. Not like, you can't go backwards. So it was really a decision, and then looking at putting processes in play. And then I do jump in the field with my guys from time to time, like as like
that's
ride-alongs.
Helpful. Yeah.
Is it more like a ride-along capacity or just like a be there to guide them through a process or something like that? What does that look like?
Both, actually. So it's kind of to evaluate them and then to show them what our process looks like and what the outcome needs to be, right? To be able to, you know, communication with the customer. It could be technical training as well.
Talking about technical training, do you ever feel like you're becoming tech support or even a crutch on tech support where like oh, you haven't even put your gauges on it yet, and you're asking me, like, what do I think's wrong with it?
Right.
Does that ever feel like that's the case with you?
Oh, absolutely. But so it's, again, it goes back to processes. So I've created a very extensive, like, diagnostic. It's like 78 points, and my guys know now, do not call me unless that thing's filled out.
Right.
Like, it's, they know for sure.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. It's funny because I was talking with Tersh last night, we were out to dinner, and the word process comes up, even in my business, which isn't in the trades. Well, it's part of the trades, digital marketing. It's literally like I talk about it every single day because it can always be better.
Yeah.
Our process, it's like you would love it if you could create it once.
Right.
And it was
and never,
done.
Yeah, you just right, never right. mess
but
with it again.
But it's never done. Like it's breathing thing.
Josh, you mentioned what you just mentioned made me think about Ari Mizell and his book, The Replaceable Founder. Part of the book he wrote that whenever he's creating a process, he's talking about for a virtual assistant, but it's relevant in this scenario as well. When he creates the process, he sends it, so basically records a video of the process, sends it off to be transcribed, and they create some bullet points, and then he gives those bullet points to someone else and has them try and figure out wherever they get stopped at. Then he starts at that point in the process again, goes in and records another video, has the bullet points done again, then gives it to a different person, and then sees where they stop. And he says, sometimes you're successful the second time. Sometimes you're doing it 10 times before it's actually successful. And it seems like a painful process, but if you can have all these people doing the process the exact same way, or and during that, they're also giving their input as to what could make it better, then there's buy-in from the whole team because they're part of making the process.
I think that's when the light bulb goes off for a business owner. When they see it work and their team follows it and the results follow what should happen with the process. Like when they follow your 78-point diagnostic and the calls are very consistent, your average tickets are going up, everything, the client success or the happiness of your homeowners and stuff like that, that's going up. And it's like a light bulb's like, okay, even though building processes suck. Mm-hmm. I don't think I know anyone that likes building processes.
Right, yeah.
But you realize that you got to actually spend the time and focus on that stuff regularly.
You know, I can honestly say I enjoy building processes if I didn't have other things to do. Like I don't mind that part. I think it's fun. It brings out a little bit of my creative side. I'm not a creative at all. So like if I can successfully do that, I'm like, ooh, I did something creative. And
right.
and so I enjoy doing that, but if I have like it's a bottom priority, you know what I mean? Because there's always like these bigger fish to fry, and then you're like, oh, creating a process, that's a next week problem. And then next week me is like, last week, Tersh, what the hell were you doing? Like, why did you not just take 10 minutes and do this? Now I have to do it now. This is next week's problem again. And so it turns into a revolving door of passing the buck on to the next week, Tersh. And it sucks, really. But I agree with you 100%. And whenever I got out of the truck, the last time I got out of the truck, it was literally like you're saying, we're going to burn things down, but I'm not getting back in the truck.
Right.
And it's scary as all get out, but I used to call myself a wartime leader until we interviewed a coach and he was like, you actually have some pent up childhood issues. And I was like, oh, great. Don't call
like,
yourself.
How do we get there?
Right. Yeah. This is awesome. But, but I do thrive in that environment of like we're high stress. I'm the calm person in the stressful situation.
Yeah.
And so when the house is burning, then it's like, okay, just do X, Y, and Z. Don't freak out. But then we have other people in the company that are like, bah! And so you just kind of have to keep those people under wraps. But when things are going smooth, I'm like, ADD's kicked in. And those people are just like, let's Cadillac along here.
Yeah,
and so, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's definitely an issue for sure.
So you mentioned processes a couple times.
Yeah.
So you got to this point, you made a decision. What does that look like now for your team? How are you guys building these processes and how are you refining them? Is somebody in charge of that in your team or what does that structure look like?
So currently I'm in charge of it and kind of navigating what processes we need. And as situations come up, you realize that there's a hole. So you got to like create a process around it. Mm-hmm. And then coming to events like this, connecting with best practice groups. I heard a podcast that Ken Goodrich was on not too long ago. And he said if he had it to do over again, like the first thing he would do is join a best practice group, period. Mm-hmm. Like it's like bar none, do that first. So, you know, then you're not trying to figure out all this stuff by yourself.
Exactly.
You know, why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, exactly. Again, don't reinvent it and just do, like, all you got to do is say, hey, I'm struggling here. Oh, I experienced that last week. That's the whole point in this series in the podcast is, I'm trying to get out of a truck. Let me reach out to Jason and see how he got out of the truck because I heard on the podcast that he did it and he's doing it successfully. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, again, I'm just a chicken farmer son, right? So, events like this are great. And then, connect, listen to the podcast. My whole team listen to podcasts all the time. And you guys is one. There's a few others that they just devour. And just listening to what, other companies and business owners, how they're being successful. And just, tying into that so you don't have to do it all by yourself.
Yeah, you have to, like you said, you don't have to recreate the wheel.
Well, creating that, fostering that environment where education is a good thing and it's something that once they get on, especially to help their job, there's so many podcasts with there's very specific focuses.
Yeah.
So the person who's in charge of the CSRs can focus more on one that's on customer service and answering the phone and how that works for their team. Same thing with sales and then the technical side. It's so easy. Like literally they can be working, put some earbuds in, they can listen to it while they're working.
Right.
And find answers to questions that they may not, they're going to come to you. Mm-hmm. Jason's like, man, I don't know. I don't know. Find someone that actually has the answer.
Right. As we do develop the processes, another thing that's super important is to train on those processes. So you can create a process, and if nobody knows what it is, then there's no expectation set.
Right.
They don't know what to expect.
You can't leave it on a shelf. Just stick it on a shelf and then, hey, there's the process book. Why don't you know the processes?
Yeah. The one with all the dust on it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Now, do you use a program like Trainual or anything like that, or do you have them handwritten and then review them as a team?
Yeah, so I create, we kind of handwrite. We're old school kind of deal. But then have the guys to help like critique it because then there's that buy-in like we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can help find holes in the processes. And I encourage that. I love that. That's like that constructive criticism. That's like you talking about you're cool and calm under the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Like when we can get together and like shoot holes in it. This is why I created shoot holes in it. And let's fix it.
Yeah. And then once you fix it and they fixed it, now it's theirs. They own it.
It's not the boss man telling me I got to do this thing that I don't like doing. It's them. Like this is the best way based on what the tools, the technology, our customers. This is the best way forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that buy-in is huge.
Yeah, for sure.
Like that really helps because then they feel comfortable bringing new ideas to the fold versus like just doing what they're told.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got an army of people that are constantly looking to make the business better instead of just you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I tell my guys all the time, like our company, it used to be about me, but it's not, it's like, I'm just a very small little speck in who we are because they are the company now, you know?
Yeah.
So it's turned into a culture for sure. Like you're saying, Josh.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's great. What, is as far as takeaways from this event. So you've been a bunch of, I've seen you running up and down, going to different breakout rooms. Is there a certain, something you take away from an event like this, coming together with these group of people that you wouldn't mind sharing?
Yeah, it's processes again. Like there's several processes that I realize that I don't have in play.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up on that yesterday and took several notes on that and started creating and sent some stuff over to my team. To have them to start creating for us. But I think coming to events like this, there's always, you're just looking for these gold nuggets, right? You can't like take everything in and try to do everything all at once.
Yeah, because it's a fire hydrant of information.
Yeah,
for sure, man. You would overwhelm the whole team. It's funny, you go to an event like this and I come back to an event, come back to the office and they're like,
Oh shit, what's about to happen?
Here he comes. It's like just appease him for 2 weeks and he'll forget about it.
Right.
So really you just take a couple things and say, okay, we're going to do this. And then, you know, obviously make a list of them all and then, you know, work through that. I mean, we've all built 90-day war maps and planning out 90 days. And, that's the best way to do it. You have these small little targets and then larger targets and including the team and all that. It's like, look, I have a lot of stuff I want to do, but don't let it overwhelm you. And we're going to take this one step at a time and get it figured out. You might not even be involved with any of it, but, if you are, then I'd like you to step up on your playing your part. But,
right. Yeah. That's funny that you say that because it's, like if my team knows that I'm headed to an event, they're like, great. What's he going to come back with this time?
Exactly.
You know, but I've gotten them to start realizing though that, you know, we're not really looking because we do have so many processes in place now that we're not really looking to make huge changes in the company. We're just like tweaking the processes a little bit now, you know, because I've been out of the truck for so long that we've been able to make some adjustments so that again, that culture and who we are, has been developed. Now we're just going to get, I'm from North Georgia, so I say gooder and gooder.
Gooder
so,
and gooder.
Yeah, we're just going to get gooder and gooder.
And I have no idea what the hell you guys are talking about when you say that. So.
You say y'all. That's all you got to say.
That's right. That's right.
Cool, Jason. I really appreciate you hanging out with us. And we're respectful of your time and everything that's going on. But if anybody has any questions at all, is it okay for them to reach out to you and just ask you questions?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they can reach out to my email. It's jason@absoluteservice.com. I'd love to entertain, and you know, a lot of people support into me, I'm free to give and answer any question that I can.
Cool, man. We really appreciate you hanging out with us, and if anybody has any questions at all, wants to reach out to us, podcast@servicebusinessmastery.com is a direct line to Josh and I. And if you happen to visit our website, servicebusinessmastery.com, at the bottom right there is a little button you can click and record a message for us if you'd like. If you found value in this episode, please leave us a review, 5-star preferably. If it's not gonna be 5-star, just don't leave it. But no, I'm just kidding. We really do value feedback and everything. But with that being said, I hope you have a wonderful and safe day until we talk again next time. We'll see you.